It's hour number two of the program here on a gloomy Saturday. By the way, the first game over at Acrisure Stadium is at halftime. Matt Sieg has two touchdowns on the ground. It's 14-6, Fort Cherry over Clairton. That one at halftime. Fort Cherry's number one. Clairton is number two, and they're playing a very good and entertaining football game. All those games on KDK Plus. The Steelers and KDK Plus have combined to bring those all to you, and it'll go all throughout the day. Meantime, I want to remind you that the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And South Hills Kia in Peters Township is fan Twitter, southhillskia.net, I'm sorry. And our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochran.com. Before we get back to the phone lines, we have a special guest with us. You know, in 2019, Jim Rooney, that's Art's brother, he authored a book which was called A Different Way to Win. It was Dan Rooney's story, really, from the Super Bowl, the Rooney Rule, story about his father, Steelers owner, the ambassador to Ireland, Dan Rooney, and all the accomplishments that took place, and there were many. Coming out now for your Christmas shopping list pleasure is an audio book version of that book. It goes on sale, and Jim is joining me now kindly to talk about that and what it actually means, because, Jim, we're in a different kind of digital age these days, and while I still enjoy book reading, audiobooks have become very popular. Good morning to you, and tell us about this venture into the audiobook world.
Hey, Bob, it's great to be with you, and thank you so much for having me. So we put the story together of Dad about, you know, right after he passed, and then put it out as a book. And it took us some years because of COVID and a few other things to get the audio together, but we're really excited. We have some great interviews: Joe Green, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin, Franco, Rocky, Mel Blunt. Just some great folks talk about my father, the impact he had on their lives, and then the success they had, and they attribute some of the things they learned from him. So I think it's a really good story, and I think you learn things firsthand from some guys that we all love to hear from.
So essentially what we're talking about, Jim, is that, for example, if you're taking a long trip, a lot of people do try, on Thanksgiving and Christmas, they travel long distances to get to where they're going. You could just plop this in and listen to it on your drive, correct?
It's perfect for a long drive, but if you just drive to grandma from one street to another, I hope you download it. But yes, it is great. If you're going to spend some time going across the highways, good way to listen, hear some great Steelers and hopefully a good message.
And I think the nice thing is that you hear it in their voices too. Your voice, their voice, and the stories. Sometimes, you could relay stories, but unless you hear it from the horse's mouth, it takes on a whole different meaning, doesn't it?
It does. And it's interesting because, my dad was a successful businessman, and he made some tough decisions and was tough with each of these guys at one time or another. And they talk a little bit about that. But then there's this intimacy that he builds, the sense of trust, the sense of care, the things that you've heard about with my father. Obviously I like to talk about them, but it's really powerful to me to hear guys that, aren't in the family and talk about how he did those things and how that taught them another side of being successful, that you can be tough, you can make hard decisions, but you also can do it in a way that's caring and you can have concern for others. And, those things aren't absent of each other.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good description of how your father was, because when you think about it, some of those decisions, like Rod Woodson, like Jason Gilden, these are guys who still had football. Like, he had to make a decision, but it's how you made it and the respect that those players had for him, even though they knew maybe they disagreed with it, right? And yet you got to make tough decisions at tough times.
It's funny because Mel talks about, this contract dispute he had with my dad back, I think it was 77 when he held out. And he said, it was the longest holdout in Steelers history. It was pretty acrimonious. And he said the day he came in, the first person went up to him, hugged him and said, "Look, Mel, we were negotiating and I know it was tough, but you're a Steeler and you're a Steeler forever." And Mel said, the youth home that he went on and put on, the Mel Blount youth home, he said, "It would never happen without your father, your father's support, your father's commitment." But he said, we went through this really adversarial experience, and I learned that you can do both. And so he gives a really clear description of that, which I think is excellent.
Yeah, and I think that's what made him as good as he was, and not only in dealing with his own team, but also, all the issues in the National Football League, and your dad was, you know, primarily responsible for a lot of stuff that happened in the NFL. That's how much respect they had for him.
Yep. Yep. You know, Bob, the basis of our business model, the reason the NFL has really, you know, the reason the Steelers have some of the things they're able to do, and I love the Pirates, but baseball has never done we've done in terms of our collective bargaining agreement. And it's allowed Pittsburgh to always be competitive with the Giants, with the Bears, you know, with the Dodgers. And, you know, the Bucks, it's just hard to compete with the Yankees every year. It's hard to compete with the Cubs every year. It's hard to compete with the Dodgers every year because of the structure. And my father was the one who really negotiated that collective bargaining agreement, the foundation of it, that we still have today.
Yeah, and I think it's absolutely made it so that every team, you don't look at any of these NFL teams as small market as you do with baseball. So,
right.
And that's the difference.
We're talking about a Chiefs dynasty. You know, I mean, that's just so different. And you know, I would love to see it in baseball, but it really was a competitive advantage.
No question about it. All right, Jim Rooney, the book is called A Different Way to Win. Where can people get it? It's an audio book now. You can get both the regular and now audiobook. Where can they do it?
Yep, and if folks are interested in downloading the audio, anywhere you download audiobooks, Amazon does it through Audible, Apple does it through iBooks, and then my publisher, Penguin Random House Audio, has a website, and they have a little bit of a contest there, so there's some goodies that Steeler fans might be interested in. So any of those places or anywhere else you regularly download an audiobook.
Well, that sounds awesome and a great time to do it right before Christmas. Jim, as always, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it. And best of luck with a different way to win now in audiobook form. We appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Bob. I really appreciate everything you do and taking time to talk to me. I appreciate it.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving and all the best to the family. That's Jim Rooney joining us right here today on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. And again, you can get it at Amazon or any other place that they do audiobooks, and it's a great gift for Steeler fans. All right, Jim, thank you. And let's get back to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. Anthony in Oakland is up next. Anthony, thank you for waiting. What's going on?
Well, that was interesting to hear about one of the Patriots of the league. Mr. Rooney did a lot for the foundation of what we call the NFL today.
He absolutely. And that CBA thing is a big collective bargaining. That's your forte, right? You know, it's important for both sides to get fair deals. They did. And to his point, I've been moaning about baseball for a long time, and I don't think it's ever going to change. But go ahead.
What's going to eventually have to happen, though? You have these quarterbacks who are making an enormous amount of money. They're going to have to cut it in half. They can still keep their union representation, but they're going to also put half of their contract into management side because it eats up too much of the cap. I mean, these guys, because it's not stopping. I mean, you've got the Dallas quarterback making $60 million. I mean, before we know it, this thing's going to be $100 million.
And, Anthony, think about this now. You got Daniel Jones released. They still owe him $76 million, I saw. Deshaun Watson's owed $92 million, and they don't even play anymore.
Yeah, eventually they're going to have to do that in the next collective bargaining agreement, if I were the other players. Because, you know, this is how you don't have a full roster, because if you're spending – we know what it's $200 million or more for the cap, but if a quarterback's taking up $100 million, what does that leave you? And that's where we're going. So they're going to have to, the next contract, the rest of the rank and file are eventually going to have to say, we're going to have to split that baby.
See, this is why, by the way, just for me to dovetail into something else, this is why the Pirates need to treat Paul Skeens as if he is a rookie quarterback. He's not making a lot of money, less than $1 million right now. Eventually, he's going to price himself out of Pittsburgh, but you have him for the next 4 years or so. Go out and spend money on everything to make it possible that they can compete.
Yes, eventually. But let me say this about the Steelers, the current Steeler team. I'm very disappointed in the coaching. I know they were on a short week, but to not look at the tape of how New Orleans attacked Cleveland. I mean, every time Garrett would come rush the quarterback, they would just send a screen behind him, and they just destroyed them. They did. You saw Taysom Hill run for all that yard. I'm disappointed that they did not use the Cleveland aggressiveness against them, and it cost them.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. The other thing I didn't like with regard to Justin Fields, I think everyone knew that at some point they would use him in a way. seemed like that was a kind of a sporadic way of using him the other night.
Yeah. They should have saved it until after the bye.
Right. They kind of rushed it in there, and it didn't look like they had any time preparing for it. And they only had one practice day last week.
It was haphazard, and it cost them. Because, look, they can utilize him, as you saw in that 30-yard run. He can be utilized, but you have to prime for it. You just can't spur in a moment. Say, oh, he's in, because it cost him late in that drive. Look, if you ice that first down there, we're talking a whole different ballgame. Then why wasn't Russ in the game? He's your best throwing quarterback from the pocket. It was inexcusable. You max protect. You max protect it, you pick up that yardage, no matter how you had to do it, Brock.
Let me ask you this, because I know I have a feeling I'm going to get your answer to this. George Pickens, he had a lot of interesting things to say, none of which I would have endorsed after a loss like that. He basically said Cleveland's not a good football team, and the only reason they won was because of the weather. Now, they play each other in 2 weeks. Regardless of that, I mean, that's the wrong time to do it. And some people say, well, it's a heat of the moment. He's speaking the truth. You guys want truth. He's saying, okay, but that's, I mean, what's your view on that? Knowing that, you know, I thought that last play, he was more guilty of taking Newsom out of the play than vice versa.
You mean at the, I don't even count that nonsense because they weren't even prepared for that. You have at least one receiver who stands in the front if it gets knocked back. And right. That's what happened. If you watch that play, it got knocked. If they had had a receiver stay there, he may have been able to catch it. But let me just say this quickly. You know, we talk about the great Watt, and he is fantastic. But you know what? We kind of push to the side the contributing factor of Alex Highsmith. They're not the same defense when Alex Highsmith is not there. They're just not. They don't lose when he's playing. He is very important to that scheme. And the sooner he gets back healthy, now we're going to need him down the stretch because you're going to need Alex Highsmith. Herbert's a nice guy. He's a young player. But there's no question, Bob, Highsmith makes a big difference in that overall scheme.
Totally agree. All right, Anthony, always good to hear from
you, man.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Thanks for the time. Let's go to Rob in Turtle Creek. Joins us right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Bob, I'm going to switch things up on you. I hope you don't mind a little bit.
Free for all. Go for it.
Hey, I'm going to talk about college recruiting. I got to say, I think it's got to change with the NIL. I just don't understand. I heard you say earlier that the Sieg kid from Fort Cherry committed to Penn State.
Yes.
Is he a senior?
Yes.
Okay. I just don't understand it. Why you would commit these days when you could say, you know what, I'm going to hold out and see how much I can get from whoever's coming after me. To commit early seems kind of, I don't know, foolishness on their part because they're really, you know, I guess from a business management point, you know, their family needs to say, hey, you know what, you can't commit this early. You can't do this. You got to see what they're going to give you. And,
so,
you know, because
so,
it's not about the student athlete anymore. It's
yeah,
not
but
about,
maybe in Matt's case it is. Maybe he went there like that and want that fit. I don't know. Everyone has their own personal decision to make, but if it strictly comes down to money, then I think we really got problems. High school juniors are starting to get money for things and it's going to trickle down below that, I mean, it can't be good for the overall product. I don't care what.
I'm not saying to pay the high school kids. I'm saying to hold out to say, hey, you know, when you come in to us, it's going to have to be a binding contract. They're going to have contracts sooner or later because you can't have kids coming in, jumping in, taking the money, and then, you know, running away. I mean, I know they said that there's some of that going on where, you get this money as long as you stay here, but if you leave, you got to pay it back or you got to do whatever. It's got to be a mess. But I just don't, I've never understood in Western Pennsylvania why, you know, going back to my playing days, and I wasn't that great of a player to be recruited, but to say, hey, you know what, there's more to this than just my individuality. I want to go, I want to win, I want to win a national championship. I've never understood, and maybe now this can happen since NIL, where, you know, a group of kids would say, hey, you know what, we played against each other in this championship game. I know you're a great player. I know I'm a great player. Let's go to, you know, XYZ University, and let's win a championship.
I understand. Hey, Rob, anything's possible at this point, and thanks for the call. What I will also tell you is that this whole recruiting of high school athletes, maybe this is what you're trying to say eventually, I don't know if I'd even bother with him. I would spend my time in the transfer portal every single year because there's no guarantee. You recruit Matt Siegel, he has a really good freshman year, and he doesn't like what's going on. He wants to go someplace else. He goes. So you waste all your time doing that, and then at the end of it, he leaves anyway. I think you're going to see more people go to the transfer portal as their chief way of recruiting. And I don't necessarily like that either, but that's simply the way it's going with all the money, and it's very difficult. There are teams that just don't have the donor base to be able to boost these kind of salaries that these teams need. I think one of the reasons why, Pitt's struggling is they don't have enough people putting, and you could rely on them, one or two people who have a lot of money. At the end, they're going to get tired of it. They need more people to do it, given how this is sort of unleashed. Anyway, it is a problem. It's not going to get, I don't think it's changing anytime soon, but at some point it has to. Let's go to Ryan in New Jersey before we take a break. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, Bob. I don't know whether to congratulate you or console you for agreeing to take on more hours with Joe Starkey, but
It's just going to be a couple of days a week. It's not full time over there because I don't have the time, but it's a change. But I'm looking forward to it because it's weekdays. It's days that I work anyway.
Well, you're good on the radio, and you take calls and actually interact with the callers, which is not standard on the station. So I always appreciate that.
Thanks, Ryan.
There's two things that, real quick, I don't call you to talk about the Steelers much, but that game the other night, watching Tomlin and the coaches kind of stand there, look around, and the two-yard nudge up the middle, and the bring four pressure that never got home, so the secondary was getting picked apart. They always seem like a team, and I know they'll deny it, that reads their own press. So they beat Baltimore, and they're all high on Tomlin, coach of the year, whatever. And they just, dumbfoundedly walked into that game and just were frozen. Just no adjustments. Blitz somebody occasionally or go to dime and put...
That's a good point, the blitz part, because something. I looked at Cleveland's offensive line with all the injuries they've had, and they had this guy playing left tackle. And they one sack all night. Yeah, they had a couple of pressures. But with that quarterback, the best way to intercept him is to put pressure on him. And they really didn't do a consistent enough job of doing that.
Now, I know they say on the broadcast they're in man all the time, but it really looks like the same Dick LeBeau zone blitz, soft zone, because they're... They don't blitz. That's the thing. It only worked because they were never covering all the receivers. It only worked because they'd bring five or six guys. That's why it worked all those years. So I don't know. Terrell Austin leaves a lot to be desired sometimes. And so does Smith. I don't know what that game plan was. But whatever. As far as the Pens go, I got to laugh when I see the same people breaking down Corsi numbers and metrics and whatever about, and then kind of pulling their hair out about when's it going to get better. I cannot believe that they've ridden this horse, but it was predictable. The Kings had that whole, oh, we won, and then we broke down. The Blackhawks had we won, and then we broke down. Penguins were insistent that they weren't going to do that, and they have done it probably as close to Chicago when it's all said and done, or maybe even worse, because this team is nowhere near being competitive. I mean, they are 5 years, if they get lucky, in my book, from being competitive. They traded away all their guys. They don't have any depth. They don't have a lot of young talent. They got these stupid second, third round picks, which don't translate to much in hockey. This is not.
No, I agree. I mean, you can stockpile picks, but you don't want second and third. You'll come up with a Brian Rust or a Jake Guentzel, but it's very, very rare.
5 or 10 impactful players in each NHL draft. They don't get to the second and third round typically, unless you get lucky. But I just don't. I don't get it. I don't. I mean, and as far as the Crosby thing goes, I see a lot of why did he resign? He and granted, the thing that's saving Pens fans is he's so regimented in his ways and so superstitious. I don't think he could bring himself to ask for a trade. But he signed because he could be traded. I mean, that is a tradable contract, that extension. So if he wants to pull the ripcord.
Now, he's the one who has to do it, absolutely.
Exactly.
Which is also true of all those other guys, too. But I would approach them now anyway. I would go to them.
I think Malkin might be done this year.
But the thing is, you're not going to get what you once would have gotten. If you had done this 4 years ago, you would have gotten more. And, you have to at some point anticipate that what's happening is going to happen. We talked about it all the time, right, Ryan? You've talked about it. The fact that they won because they went out, got aggressive trade picks. Sooner or later, there is a payment due on that. And you're paying it now. And so then what do you do now? You can't get the same in return that you would have gotten.
I know the popular narrative was trade Malkin in 2017 or 18, you get a haul. Let's just assume that's just water under the bridge at this point. Because he wasn't going to accept that. They weren't going to do that. And, hindsight's 20/20. And the reason why the team started to collapse, other than Rutherford wheeling and dealing, was Sullivan picked the wrong goalies. He picked twice. He picked the wrong goalies twice. And I know the decisions made sense, but these are not NHL Stanley Cup winning goalies, these last two. They're just not. You're not going to be able to do anything with that. And now they're stuck. I mean, the Jari contract and the Graves contract. I mean, this is why Crosby, if I were him, and I know what kind of guy he is, or we think we know what kind of guy he is. I know why.
No, you know what he is. He's pretty transparent, and he's as good as you think. It's up to him, though. If he wants to do it, we got to go to a break, Ryan. But thanks. I appreciate the call, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. It's a mess right now in terms of where you go from here. And quite frankly, it's unlikely they'll be able to dig out. I hope they can. I want to see a competitive team going down the stretch so they can get into the playoffs. And, man, we've missed playoff hockey for 2 years now. You don't want to make it three. And if it's three, it'll likely become four and more. So Kyle Dubas has got many situations on his plate right now, and he has to figure out what is the best way to go about it. 412-928-9370, that is the number to call. We have Joel Nelson behind the glass. Joel now will be here pretty much all day, I would assume, Joel, right? You're going to be you work long hours. I always see you working long hours.
Yes, sir. I'll be here throughout the rest of the day, Bob.
All right. Well, we have a Pitt show coming up at the top of the hour. Doran Dickerson will join me from Louisville, and Pitt's got its own set of problems to deal with. But in the meantime, we have open lines up until 1 o'clock, so call 412-928-9370. Our show brought to you by Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. PNC Bank, Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman, Ireland Contracting. All right here. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We continue to roll along with Joel Nelson operating all the ones and the twos. I'm Bob Pompiani here until 1 o'clock, and then we shift over to Pit Preview with Doran Dickerson. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Again, thank you to Number One Cochran, Rob Cochran, Tire Family, Shop 24/7 with ExpressWayCochran.com. They've got locations everywhere. Anything you need in the way of a vehicle, either trade, purchase, whatever the case may be, they take care of it, and they have some of the best service people you'll find as well. So thank you to Number One Cochran for being a primary sponsor of our program. 412-928-9370, just some updates. Clairton has just come back to tie for Cherry. By the way, it's on KDK Plus, but if you're traveling around, you want to listen to it, all the games on KDKA AM or 101 FM. Is that right, Joel? Is that the... So you can watch, you can listen to them both. They're doing all four games today, correct? So we're good there. That's coming up today. And Fort Cherry with two Matt Sieg touchdowns to make it 14-6. They just scored here early second half. So that's a good game, the 1A game. And all of the other games up until probably midnight tonight will be on KDK Plus and KDK AM. In the meantime, Indiana leads Ohio State 7-0. That's 2-5. Indiana, Kurt Cignetti, man, they've done a very good job at Indiana. They're trying to go to the home of the Buckeyes and win, and right now they are 7-0. That's late in the first quarter of play. 412-928-9370. Let's go to George in Bellevue. Hello, George. How are you?
Good, good. Good afternoon, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you.
Just quick question on the Steelers. T.J. Watt has been a little quiet the last few weeks, and when I watched the game the other night and I saw Myles Garrett going crazy, I was just wondering, curious as to why the Steelers don't move him around like other teams do with their edge rushers, like Myles Garrett moves around, Max Crosby moves around. It seems like it'd be a little harder to game plan for that. And, it's so predictable. You know where TJ's coming from all the time, and they always seem to put two or three blockers on him. I just wondered if you had any insight into that.
No, I tend to agree with that too. Just for the sake of you could stunt him, you could do a lot of different things like that. But as far as moving him just to change the pace and give the offense something to think about, I don't think that's a bad move at all. And maybe we'll see that moving forward. I do know this: the T.J. Watt's going to be highly motivated not only for the next game, but when Cleveland comes back here, given what happened in that game. You're going to see something else take place, I would imagine. But that's a good idea, and I'm surprised they haven't done more of it, to be honest.
Yeah, why don't you pass that along to the defensive coordinator?
I'm sure they have all sorts of things.
So obvious. It seems so obvious to me, but...
Well, I mean, in that game, I thought more that I really thought Nick Herbig was going to have a bigger impact, only because they had a guy at left tackle who was just new to it, hadn't been all that good. The one sack they got was him as he went around the edge. I thought he'd use his speed more to his advantage in that game. But again, they came in, Cleveland did, to that game with the NFL worst 46 sacks allowed, and for some reason the Steelers only got one in that game. So that was a little surprising to me.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right, thank you.
You're inside. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye, George. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Again, big day today with high school football, but tomorrow, an off day for the Steelers. And that was that. So there are going to be a lot of other games. I think the game on Monday night is going to be interesting, with Baltimore traveling to the Chargers in the Battle of Harbaughs. And, Baltimore with a win all of a sudden be 8-4, and they have home games coming up to both Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Both teams have tough schedules. You know, and this is a rock'em sock'em AFC. I don't know that there's an elite team as in previous years. There are very good teams, but not. I think Kansas City is beatable the way they're playing right now, although they know how to win, and they have won despite not playing their best football. I would imagine that's going to change down the stretch. Buffalo is, to me, a team that's more dangerous given everything they have. So I would look at that and say, okay, Buffalo, Kansas City, where is Pittsburgh? What is the ceiling for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now? They still, despite that loss, are 8-3. And they have games coming up with everyone in their division. They can take care of business right then and there. But also, the game at Philly and the game against Kansas City are going to be difficult games, and they come in a very short window. So, what is the ceiling? Call me at 412-928-9370. We saw 2020, 11-0, and people had looked at that as a team that could win a Super Bowl at that point. 11-0 teams normally do get to a Super Bowl, and then everything fell apart. I mean, look at the Eagles, what happened last year. They started 11-1 and just fell apart. Things can change. For what is the Steelers' ceiling? I'd like to hear from you at 412-928-9370. We'll take a break here, come back with more of those calls leading you up till the top of the hour, and we'll also talk about the Penguins. What would you do? What can they do if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins here, looking ahead to not only the rest of this year but the future? That's all coming up right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We are brought to you by number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. PNC Bank, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, 412-928-9370. Back to the lines. California is our next destination. The state. We have Guy out there in California. What's up, Guy?
Hi, Bob. Hey, listen, real quick, before I talk about the Penguins, I'm really looking forward to Sunday, but it's not for the reasons one would think. It's when that F1 race in Las Vegas is over. That thing's been a real disaster. I mean, and it's on TV on the East Coast after midnight, for goodness sake. So you can see they're definitely catering to a European audience.
I mean, it's all money, too. It's all money that they get from that side of the pond.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be texting friends and relatives in Italy and the like, but it's ridiculous. It ties up traffic in Las Vegas, and I think most Las Vegas people think it's been a real disaster. That said, about the Penguins, I think, you know, we need to wait till after Thanksgiving. Then we can make some hard decisions about the Penguins. You know, I don't care if the Penguins are fifth in the Patrick, or rather the Metro Division. Are they eighth in the Eastern Conference? And you have to think in terms of conferences. And I don't think they're yet. Obviously, they're not there now. But, you know, their play has certainly been lackluster. But I just want to say one thing, cautionary tale. When you look at the Vegas Golden Knights, they have been ruthless in what they've done to their personnel. They traded Marc-Andre Fleury, and that was a disaster. But, you know, they also got rid of, they let their 2023 Conn Smythe winner, the MVP Stanley Cup winner, Marchessault, go. I mean, I don't know whether or not the people in Pittsburgh are ready, you know, for that sort of.
Yeah, but they still remain competitively good, the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh yeah, they're on top of their division, and they're
sometimes you have to make those smart moves. You know, we just had Jim Rooney on talking about Dan Rooney and some of the moves he made. You try to be, you know, upfront professional about it, but you can't shy away because you feel some sort of, debt of gratitude for players. I mean, it's just the way it goes. You have to make choices. I think if the Penguins, you know, once back in 2017-18, whatever the case may be, they had a chance maybe to move on from Malkin and Letang. They didn't do it. They had a second round of this opportunity back when they were both at the end of contracts, and they doubled down and brought them back. If they had not done that, they would have saved all that money that they could have used in free agency for younger people to surround Sidney Crosby. But they chose not to do that. Instead, they doubled down, brought him back for longer, you know, 4-year deal. So now they're stuck.
And they're, you know, they're at the bottom of their division. I mean, I'm looking, you know, the Flyers and the Blue Jackets are ahead of them, for goodness sakes. And, you know, if the Blue Jackets make the playoffs, then it'll really be an indictment in the season. I'm just saying, prepare yourself for, you know, the harshness that may come with that. I'm not sure the fan base. I don't think when people say let's trade Crosby, I don't think the fan base is ready for that. Maybe Letang, maybe Malkin.
The only way the fan base will be ready is if Sidney Crosby is the man who goes to them and says, look, I can help you out by trading me. You know, give me a chance to go someplace and I'll get you some assets in return or something of that nature. I don't think the team would do anything. They had a choice not to sign Malkin or Letang on when they were at the end of their contracts. They could have done that. They could have saved a lot of money, and there were people in free agency who would have made them younger and maybe better.
And I agree with it. We've talked about that in the past. I'll just say, you know, after the Olympics, we'll see how, you know, Crosby feels. You know, I said, hey, listen, I enjoy playing with these guys. Let me go play with them, finish my career out with them. We'll see.
All right, guy. Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a good one. Let's go out to Wexford now. We have Tim joining us here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Bob. It's Tim, longtime friend of Tommy Max. Merry Christmas.
Tommy Max.
Thanksgiving to you.
You too. Thanks, Tim.
I can't wait to hear your version of Blue Christmas this year.
We'll see.
Okay, listen, real quick. The Chiefs still have the Texans, the Chargers, and the Steelers, and they close with the Broncos. Okay, and the Bills have a 3-game stretch with the 49ers, Rams, and Lions. How are those games going to affect the playoff picture and the seeding in the AFC?
Well, it will, one way or the other. And the Steelers have a tough schedule, too. They're all going to take their lumps along the way. Like I said, I thought the AFC is not necessarily filled with any elite teams. All those teams are good that you mentioned, Kansas City and Buffalo. Very good teams. But they're beatable, you know, I think more so this year than maybe they've been in the past. So we'll see how this goes. But those are not easy games. Injuries will play a factor. Kansas City has built up enough in insulation. They finally lost to Buffalo. But, you know, they only have one loss, so they're still in the driver's seat. And remember, that number one seat is very, very important. You want to get it just because you're the only team that's going to get a week off.
Well, you have a good one, Bob. Thanks.
All right, Tim. Thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah, all those schedules are difficult. There's no question. But I don't know what San Francisco is right now. They've been, you know, Purdy's not going to play this week. They've had injuries. They're not the same team that people thought they were. Now, the Lions are a legitimate team. If there's one team that you can say should be standing out amid all these teams, it's the Detroit Lions. But that doesn't mean a team like the Rams can't get hot. They have Stafford back. They got both of their receivers, Nacua and Kupp, both healthy. I mean, they're in a situation where they could be very, very good down the stretch and get in and get hot at the right time. So that's all very much a possibility. We'll see how that goes. But the Steelers have to worry about just getting better against Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a team that can light you up, and their defense could be lit up. So you could look for a lot of points in that game. But I thought we'd see more points from the Steelers in this game against the Browns, given their defensive woes, and yet it did not happen. So Burrow's a tough customer now. He's got Gesicki at tight end. He has both T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. They're a good offensive team. Defensively, they can be had. So we'll see how that goes. But that's going to be fascinating. I got two against the Bengals. And the Bengals have, you know, I still think they're pretty much done at 4-7. But if they should go on a little bit of a roll here and get to 10-7, and we've seen teams get hot at this juncture of the situation, that could be totally different. So all I know is it's going to be fun to watch. I don't like Christmas Day games, just to be honest with you. I don't, unless they're at night, and this one isn't at night, so it's a 1 o'clock game. And by the way, those of you who are worried about Netflix, we will carry the game on KDK-TV. You don't have to worry about buffering anything because we're taking a direct feed that we're getting. It has nothing to do with Netflix. So if you're looking for the place to watch it on Christmas Day, it is KDK-TV. We'll have it all for you. By the way, on KDK Plus and also KDK Radio, if you're driving around and you want to find out what's going on with these high school games, we're right now very late in the third quarter. Fort Cherry had a 14-6 lead. It's now 14-14. Clareton is driving with the ball here, and we'll see what they do with it, but it's a tied game. All four games will be on TV, KDK Plus, on the radio at KDKA AM, FM, so check that out for sure coming up. In the meantime, we're going to get you set for Pitt Panther Preview coming up. That's with Doran Dickerson and myself as Pitt gets set to take on Louisville. And really, is a big game for them. They can't afford to lose four in a row. This whole season has crumbled right in front of them. There was talk about them getting into the playoff, talk about ACC championship games. All those are now done because of some of their sloppy play. And they need to rebound today, although they are 7.5-point underdogs. All right, Joel Nelson, thanks very much for your help. As always, appreciate it. Top of the line, Joel Nelson. He'll be here all day long. We have a lot of programming throughout the course of the day. Once again, thank you to number one Cochran, shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, Iron Rock Tap House. Also, there's a good golf place to go. It's called 9 Yards Golf Lounge. It's down there in Washington County. If you like simulators with some of the best technology, check that place out as well. If you're looking to get your golf swing throughout the course of the winter, that's a good place, 9 Yards Golf Lounge in Washington. So we have fan preview coming up with the Pitt Panthers as they take on Louisville. And then tomorrow, join us. We still have a pregame show, even though there's no game, 11:30 a.m. on KDK-TV. It's a BetMGM Steelers kickoff. We'll take a look at what happened in Cleveland with Charlie Batch and company. And also, tomorrow night, it's the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. That's on 11:35 KDK-TV. So that's going to wrap up. Now time for fan weather. Sun Chevrolet provides that to you. It is the Red Tag event now through December the 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, thick cloud cover, breezy, couple of showers, high of 46. Tonight, still cloudy, low of 38. For Joel Nelson, I'm Bob Pompiani. Thanks for joining us. Coming up next, Pitt Panther previews. They get set to take on Louisville right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.